Okay, Rabbi Isai, we're holding on back. We're today, in any event, is Daphne and Dalit. And we were holding on the last line of Benjamin Lepes. Omer of Pap, Boy Rabibi Barabaye, Veshet Nekuvato B'mashahu Drusato B'mashahu. Look, you said yesterday that the simanim themselves are reddened after a clawing by a type of animal that can be derased, then the simonim are considered to be a drus in its trait. So I understand where the veshet is very sensitive, the nekivas haveshet is even a mashu, so undoubtedly the drus is also a mashu. My question is, how about a kona? A kona doesn't really have a nekuva, it only has words that were always lokov and choser. So as the choser and iser, so is the drusa, the reddened area of the kana, also have to be the size of an iser or any drusa mark at all, the kama? Both of the boy on the pashta, I have to ask him the question, he answered it himself, that echad zevi echad zevi mashu, whether it's nekuva, whether it's veshet rather, whether it's kana, it's bimashahu, not like the nekuva. My time is zero mikla koliviyasi. Because once we note an impact of the drisa on the semen, then we know that whatever it is that's causing that impact, whatever poison or bacteria is causing that impact, it has a tendency to spread, and therefore, for all intents and purposes, it's already kaput. Yotzi Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marka, Kameid Rav Nachman V'yotzi V'Koma. Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marka was sitting in front of Rav Nachman and was saying that Drusa Shaonu Tzricha Badika Keneged V'nei Me'ayin. That you need to do a Badika where you don't know where the Drusa was, Keneged the entire V'nei Me'ayin. Into which Rav Nachman responded, Amalei Rav Nachman, Elohim, I swear to God, it's more than Mori Bar Rav Mikapa V'Aratma. Rob said more than that. Rob said you have to go from the kaf, which we'll see in a moment what that's a reference to, until the hindquarters. Now, the question is, what is that a reference to? My kaf. When you say the kaf, what are you referring to? Ilei makaf the yada, hanekeneged b'nei me'ayin. Let's take a look at the general issue over here. We have a very interesting question we had, actually, a long time ago. If you remember, we had the question of whether the Mizamni Ma'akum HaBnei Me'ayim, remember? Can you give some of the B'nei Me'ayim to an Akum? According to Mani Omer, held that after you shech the Kona, then the Rea, the whole respiratory system is Kidu Manav B'dikula. We had before. Now, there was a question. It said afterwards, Mizamni Tza'akum, or B'nei Me'ayim, on B'nei Me'ayim. The question was, what does B'nei Me'ayim mean exactly? And there's two ways to understand B'nei Me'ayim. The B'nei Me'ayim literally would mean the insides of the me'im, the digestive parts, which would be the parts going from here along the bottom of the animal, which would include the keras from underneath, the intestines, the various stomachs, but would not include the organs that are on top directly under the rib cage, such as the lungs and the heart and so on, because they are more protected. Or we could say the name Me'ayim is a reference, like we obviously used it in other places, reference to the whole insides, the innards, as opposed to the simanim, perhaps, up here, the Rosh, and so on. Now, Rashi learns that the B'nei Me'ayim is indeed, he says, we see clearly that we use the word B'nei Me'ayim before to mean even the Rea, even the Kaveh, even the Leiva. He says, we saw that earlier, and we're going to have it, actually, he brings Raya from later, he doesn't bring Raya from here, and we'll see why. But he brings Raya from the Sugya of Nichmu, B'nei Me'ayim, which is where an animal was caught in a fire. And there was damage, it was done to internal organs from the heat. Well, over there, definitely, it's clear that the Gemara includes all of the organs, talks about the fatigue of the organs. Tosfos time is, however, that it's all very nice to say that we do find in Brises, and we find in Mishnayos, in which B'nei Me'ayim is used that way, but the Lashon of the Mishnah and Brisa is not the same as the Lashon of Amorayim. And he shows that the Lashon of Amorayim, we don't find B'nei Me'ayim, including the upper organs. It's not a reference to the innards. It's a reference to the digestive system. And therefore, it matters very much how we learn this sugya. Because if the reference, the Gemara is asking over here, which kaf? And says, Ilema kaf of the yada. I think that there were, I remember seeing a nice picture of the kaf of the yada. It's basically what we call the blade, it's a shoulder blade. So that's what's called a kaf because it's like a wide spoon. I don't want to spend the time looking here. But in any event, if it means the kaf of the yada, so then why is Reb Nachman breaking in with, no, Rav said even the kaf of Adna, the kaf of the hand is precisely the B'nai Me'ayim. Because it includes exactly that area. Essentially, what you'd be looking at is from here down to the kaf of the Adna. So that's the B'nai Me'ayim. This is our Rashi. This is the kaf of the Atma. So from up here down is everything. So the male, it includes Rashi's Pshat B'nai Me'ayim. And therefore, the Gemara has to find another explanation for what the kaf is. Tosfos says, of course, it doesn't mean from here to here, from the top of the kaf, the shoulder blade all the way to the back, because that in fact would be more than B'nai Me'ayim. Because B'nai Me'ayim would only mean the under organs, not the upper organs. If it means the kaf, then he would be adding, is what the Gemara asks. Therefore, the statement is the kafa means mi kafa, means from the bottom of the bone of the kaf. And that indeed would be, could you cut a line across, you exclude the lungs and the liver and so on. You would only be talking really about the digestive system. So then according to Tosfos, he's bothered by the fact, then why doesn't the Gemara simply answer my kapha? And answer means the top of the kapha. And then it would include more than the. That's why Reb Nachman was saying, no, the B'nai Me'ayim is not enough. You have to go to the lungs too. So Tosfos says, because he thinks that the lashon mi kapha is marked from the end of the kapha. Therefore, we need to find another meaning to kapha. And the answer is mi kapha de mucha ad atma. It means from the skull. There's a kaf also. It's called a kaf. So from the morak, in other words, till the hindquarters. Furthermore, it says that this is an excellent addition because it would include the simani. And we find that Rav Huna actually required Medika Degera Simani, we said before. Exactly. That's what it would mean. Now let me kapa de bucha adat. Not quite tell. Kisoli Bafir Bar Yosef. When Rabbi Bar Yosef went up to Eretz Yisrael, he found Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish sitting and discussing drusa. So they said together, drusa she'amru tzricha b'dika k'neged b'nei me'ayim. See, they also were saying, if you have a place where you saw something being drusa, you don't know where, or you have a suffix drusa, like Rashi said earlier, you need a b'dika k'neged b'nei me'ayim. And his response, there's a lot of cursing on this, where I wouldn't say curse, but swearing on this. On this page, so he also swears to God, Elohim, Moriba already Rav mi kaf of Adatma. Rav said, you got to go all the way from the kaf down to the hindquarters. So I'm going to ask, who is this guy Rav? Manu Rav. I don't know what they call this guy Rav. He's some kind of authority. Loya Danel, I don't know who the heck he is. They keep quoting him. Omra Yogan, Yoga says to Shlokish, you don't remember? Loni here later told Talmid Shishimesh at Rebbe Rabbi. You remember that kid that was in the shir when Rebbe was giving shir, and Rebbe Chia was giving shir, and he was mamish from the top guys in the shir. Another swear over here. Veloim kolotam shanim Shishimesh told Talmid b'yeshiva. That guy was allowed to sit the whole time in shir when there was no sitting room. I wasn't able to sit. I had to stand. And I was Meshamesh Bamida, Anishi Mesh Bamida. And I'll tell you the honest truth, Raman Gavar. And who do you think was the best guy in this year? Who Gavar Bakula? He was better in everything than me. You don't remember him? Miyad Pasach Reish Lakish or Shlokish. Ah, that guy. Hey, he's okay. Brahm, Zuchoroto Ish Latov. I'll tell you how I know he's okay. They say over Halacha in his name. Somebody is there, they should say over Shmuel, his name's got to be okay. I don't know about you know, as being a child prodigy or anything like that, doesn't mean much to me. But I'll tell you, Amr Shmuel Mipiv. What did they say in his name? Here you go, a summary of Rav's life, the Reish Lakish. One line. Shmuta v'shkuta k'shera. If you find a simen that is shamut, so it's not attached, it was a nidalda, but it is shachut, then you have a right to say that at the time that the shechita was done, it wasn't shamut. It would be impossible if the shmitata simonim had occurred before the shechita, that the shechita would have shechted properly. Because the simon gets loose and drops, and you can't cut it. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, that's all you know about him. I don't even agree. Because I think that's wrong. Rabbi Yochanan says, actually, then is Yaviv Yakif. Bring back the simon, cut it another place and see if it cuts. So what do you got to tell me theories for? If you can cut it now, and you see the same type of cut, so obviously it was possible to do it after Shechita. I mean, to do it, that it could have been before Shechita to do a Shechita to it, and therefore you can't be saying on this. Amr Nachman, this whole halacha of Rav, that you can assume that if the Shechita took place properly, the simon wasn't shamut, is dafka shalot tafas b'simanim. It's only if the shechita didn't grab the simonim and hold them in place. If he held them in place, then obviously he could stretch the simon and he could shechita so that it would cut properly even though it was shamut. So that doesn't count. Because if avo about the fas b'simanim b'shachat, then certainly if sher l'shmuta sh'teyaseh shkuta. Over there, when he's holding the simon can be shechita. And then the end of the Mishnah says, zeh klal. What's the klal? Kol sheino chaya. What do we need exactly that zeh klal? It's coming to be marvet. So last year, my, what's it coming to be marvet? Ma'asiyashem shmaitzah. Well, it includes what we had before in the beginning of the parak. The seven various shmuot of the different amoraim, that's all included in the Mishnah. Devei Yosef Rishba. Now, there were these families of trappers that would attempt to, they were hunters, basically, hunter-trappers. And obviously, if you're a hunter-trapper, you need to be very careful not to kill an animal that you're hunting, because then they didn't do shmita on us. But they, Lamaisa, would at times, were mochel begidin asher v'katle. They needed to kill something, in my memory, it wasn't a kosher animal, they needed skin or whatever. They, in order to avoid damage to any area that they wanted to use, they would shoot an animal in the Gidah Noshe and kill it that way. Weird.
What's machkulim?
Hit, to hit, they would hit the Gidah Noshe. Also, commander of Yehudim and Bezerra. So, they came to ask a shaila. If they hit in the Gidah Noshe, because since the animal that did die from this, the animals would die. Before the animal died, can they be shechted, or is it a trefa? There are times when they shot it, didn't shech the animal, the animal died just from a mark in the Gidah Noshe. So they were afraid if that's the case, then that means that it's a trefa, because if they don't shech it, it ends up dying. So apparently it's a fatal wound. Marlohus is, what are you asking? Shilohosi fala treifas, but I understand. You want to know whether there's a new treifa called a makan again? I'm not sure. Because in your anecdotal evidence, say so you have experience, and that's already a raya that there's a new treifa. But what that? What kind of stupidity is that? The treifas and the treifas listed in the Mishnah. Your personal experiences are very unimportant for that. And Rav Papa Bar Abba Rishba Mochu B'Kulya B'Katli. He was also, Rav Papa Bar was also a Rishba. And he would have the people in his bias, wasn't him himself, but the Bay Rav Papa. And he would be, he would hit sometime without going into the deep into the animal, just on top, the kidney. And the animal would die without causing any trafus. And they also wanted to know, were they able to shecht it? Also the Kamil Rav Abba. And he said the same thing. What kind of crazy stuff? anecdotes are a dime a dozen. I mean, everybody's got a cure for cancer. Everybody's got a solution to what new machlokes are going to. I mean, you open up any health magazine, and any mad woman who's got an idea of what's healthy this month is already selling the solutions. And vice versa. You know, nowadays if you're going to touch gluten, you're going to drop dead. Who knows? I mean, people come up with new machlokes all the time. Those are not to be taken seriously. The treifas are the treifas that we know, that we have a Kabbalah on. But what do you mean? But people see it. I mean, don't you see how many people were cured of cancer by going to this Mexican clinic over there? You see it. It's obviously the establishment just doesn't want you to know about it. No, says the Gemara. Gemiri the Ibadri la Samachoi. We have a Kabbalah that the fact that we may see something that appears to be fatal doesn't mean anything. It just means that we don't have sufficient knowledge to know what to do about it. But that it is certainly curable without changing anything. If you had the right, medication, the right treatment, it would be curable. And if it's not included, the fact that you don't happen to know how to cure it doesn't mean anything. The following situations, which are similar to trapes and nonetheless kosher, nikva hagargeres, oshenispika, in the kuvas hagargeres, or for that matter, even a slice all the way down the length of the kona, as we saw it before, as long as you have a little bit lamala, a little bit lamata, one mushroom is chulia, one was mushroom is kosher. So what would be the amount that it could be chaser? Actually, this is nikav, nistak, but how much could it be chaser? Up to an isra hitalki is kosher. Nivchata gulgalet v'lo nikav krum shel moach. If the skull was crushed, of course one of the shev shmeitz was berubo, that would be treifa, but if the skull is broken and the cranial membrane is intact, it's kosher. Nikev alev, there's a hole in the heart, but it doesn't reach into an auricle or a ventricle. Lolabit chalolo. Kosher. Nishbura ashidra. For that matter, it has a broken back. But lo nivsek achutshel. If you'd read the first mission, you would have thought nivsek ashidra. That the nivsek achut is separate from nishbura ashidra. Because nishbura ashidra and nivsek achutshel. So here it makes it very clear. The shidra is actually unimportant. We only mention the shidra because the derech is that the chut breaks with the nivskar, but it's not a treifa just because of shvirat hashidra. If the chut is intact, the animal is kosher. Nitla kaved, if the liver was removed, v'nishtara nana kizayis, and there was a kizayis of the liver left, it can regenerate. Hamsesu beta kosot shenikru zelator zeh. And even though we had in the first mission of treifas, if there's a hole going outside of the hemsis of the Beit HaKosot to the body, it's treif, but if the hole goes between the two of them anyway, then it goes normally from the Beit HaKosot to the hemsis. Nitel atchu, if the spleen was removed, kosher. Nitlu haklayot, if the kidneys were removed, kosher. And I mentioned to you this incredible recent research that showed that ruminants can survive without kidneys, which is that. So they had people for years laughed at this mission. Imagine taking out the kidneys from an animal and saying it's kosher. It's sugar, nothing, some kind of primitive medicine. And they just did this amazing experiment in which they removed the kidneys of a ruminant. And it did perfectly fine. Absolutely shocking. Showed no symptoms whatsoever. Just went on, stopped urinating. And just went on. I know. They left it for a week because then they decided they want to dissect it and see what the heck is going on. And they discovered that the rumen can act as a kidney. Apparently has so much.
So why do humans need dialysis?
Humans don't have rumens. That's a pretty amazing situation, but it's indeed it's only a ruminant.
The 4-7 process.
In the article, the suggestion was that it was the rumen itself, not the others. The carrots, the large, the gigantic.
Inside there is all of the
That's where the cesspool. That's where the grass settles and so on. So apparently it must have some type of exchange, you know, exchange areas there that can do basically what a kidney does. Yeah.
And then the, that's weird. The excess
and the excrement find a different system. It's a backup system. But it's not the Mishnah says it on the curtain. It's funny because they wanted to use this as a grounds for kidney transplants. This is nitla kovet means obviously that it doesn't need its own kovet. You can take care of that function some other way, and it wouldn't be called a nitla kovet. So that it would be an acceptable procedure to do a kidney transplant.
To donate
the kidney. No, that's fine. You see, from here, there's certain things that the Mishnah takes into consideration. It's not a process that you can do. Other things in my eyes would still be a transplant. By the way, I saw this morning that this was the first guy here in Israel that they put in a completely mechanical heart. Did you see that?
Unbelievable.
This is here in Israel? A mechanical heart. No, not attached to anything outside. The guy's walking around with a machine that takes over for his heart. It's not a pacemaker. Wow, you're an old-fashioned guy, pacemaker. Multi-million. We're talking about a $6 million man here. What are you? $6,000. What's that?
How many of those things are out there?
I didn't think there were very many. I didn't get a chance. Which one is it? The one that goes constantly? Yeah.
Is he able to get 20 buildings? Is he able to get 20 buildings?
In Israel, you got to agree.
Anyway.
Live outdoors. What? No, there's been others. This is a whole new system in which they stopped pumping. The pumping was the big problem. And they started just moving like a sand blade. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's go. Hagluda, we skipped over here. Nitalefi hatachton. And remember that we talked before, nitalefi hatachton means that the simonim were left in place on connective tissue. And the jaw was peeled off of that, so that you don't have a problem with shmutas ha-simonim. That's kosher. Nitla imshala, removal of the uterus, is kosher. Although Tos was stated that the aim, if it's removed together with the bladder, it won't be kosher. That was a big machlokas because we showed him. He stated that the bladder was part, as we called it earlier, shalfuchit, which shalfuchit means both the uterus and the bladder. Tos was stated that shalfuchit ha-sheten is part of the daki. Yes, they use now shalfuchit. And a charuta, we had the charuta being a treifa earlier, but that was charuta bidei odom. Fascinatingly, it makes a nafkamina what the charuta was from. You remember that a charuta was an animal in the throes of an anaphylactic reaction in which it had gone into shock. The lungs had shriveled. It was one of the first signs of shock. And the Mishnah here is saying that if the shock was caused by a natural phenomenon, it will recover. So let's say there was a sudden thunder. The animal was shocked by the thunder. It recovers. But if somebody suddenly turns on the Beatles, it won't recover.
I've seen that.
Hagluda. Remember the synonym we used for gluda was glue. So you take off the skin of the animal, Rabbi Meir Mafshir, Lachachamim Puslim. Later on we'll see what the shear is. There is a shear for gluta that the skin can regenerate. Ichman, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eilu Treifa Dafka, Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish Amar Eilu Kshir is Dafka. The question is which Mishnah, both Mishnah say Eilu as if this is this and nothing else. Which one is the one that's Dafka? The first Mishnah or the second Mishnah? So Rabbi Yochanan says Eilu Treifas is the limiting, the essential limitation. Reish Lakish says Eilu Ksheres is the limitation. But anything else would be Treif. But my comment is, which case were they referring to that was bothering them? The Shaila was Rav Masna's. Rav Masna's of the Shav Shmaitza, where he says, Amar Rav Masna, Hai Bukhidi Atman, Shav Bin Duchte Treifa. So he said a tremendous finish, that a dislocated socket, ball from the socket in the bone of the hip is considered to be a trefa. So Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, that's why it says Eva trefas, to tell you that he's wrong. In other words, the Tana first said the trefas. Okay, he came up with this list of trefas. Then he said Zeklal, because he wanted to have the other cases of the Chev Shmaitz. The Chazya, the Rav Masnan, that's Zeklal. And then the Tana says, but if I just say a list of the trefas, and I don't say Eva trefas, and I say Zeklal, so then people might think that the book of the Atma, the Shaf Minduchte, is a trefa, but it isn't. Therefore, I better say Eva trefa, so people will not think to include Rav Masna's case. Why would they think to include it? Because it would have been included in Zachal, my time is a diamond in the Tula. People would say it's included in the list of the various Netulot. So say, Nitu Akaved. So Nitel, book of the Atma, it wasn't really Nitel, but it's not in the right places, is it? It was neither. That's what they would think. In the mail, I have to say Eil Trefus. Honey was a trefus. And it's only the following cases that are trefus, but Rav Masna's case is not trefus, it's kosher. Whereas Rish Lakish says it's the opposite. Eil Ksheris is doctor. So the Tana said the trefus. Then he said Zeklal. Then he realized, wait a minute, what if people make a mistake and think that I don't mean to include Rav Masna and Zeklal? So Chazel was Rav Masna, the Loasi of Zeklal, my time. Why isn't it similar to Zeklal? Because it's not in a kuva, it's not a psuka, it's not really in a tula. The fact that it's not in its place doesn't mean it's a tula. So he was afraid that people wouldn't include in the list of trefas the Bukadat and the Shafi Dufta. Therefore, Tana Eluk Sheras, that's why I put in the Eluk in the second Mishnah, tell me only the following cases of kosher. But a case of Bukhda Akman and Shafni Dukhda Ever Masna is Trefa. Let's just look at that halakha for a minute. We never really define precisely what the extent is. Gufa, Amr of Masna. Hi Bukhda Akman and Shafni Dukhda Trefa. Rav Amak Sheras. We have right away in Machlokas whether a dislocated joint in the hip is considered to be a trefa between Rav Masna and Rava. However, Ifseg Nive trefa. If the Nivim are broken, then it's trefa. Now here we have an interesting machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. What is considered to be the Nivim? You know what page it is?
No,
connecting
to
you. Well, okay, does it show both? No. Okay, so according to Rashi, the Nive is this little, which I'm sure you've noticed in a poker, it's the little piece of connective tissue that's in the middle of the ball that connects the ball to the cartilage inside. And you can twist it easily, but can't pull it off very easily. Ah, here we go, big picture. Very good. Page 76 of the preliminary. So this would be Ipsikin Nive, according to Rashi. But the Rambam learns that the Nivis are very significant. It's the entire structure of ligaments outside of the Buka de Atma that holds the bone in place. And he says, if these ligaments are torn, then and the Buka de Atma and Shafi Dufte, it basically doesn't have any end. And that would be considered to be trefa. But the halakhas neither are considered to be trefa. The halakhas of ifsik is also kosher. Adim is achli sakuli. The only thing that we consider to be trefa in this area is if something is eaten away the ligaments. So the area is being eaten away for whatever, some infection, whatever's happening there. Then, inami bukhda atma would be, I mean, I guess you can have advanced arthritis because there's something that else could eat away at the actual cartilage and all. So then it would be a trefa. At kama tekasar, we said how much could it be missing in order to be kosher? Ad ki isra italki. Almost the Iri said in practical terms, atonda lo mischamela fon shiura. You guys have probably never seen an isra italki in your life since you never travel anywhere. You spend the whole time in Bava. Next time you're in Italy, get a good look. But anyway, what you should use is use the dinara kurdina, use a Kurdistani dinner. And that you can find every once in a while in these parts. Obviously, Kurdistan was near Baba. Vahavi Kipshita Zutrasi, you know, the size of that is the small dinners that go around. You don't always see them that small, but in Pumpadisa, you can find them. Mishtaker Beni Pupshita de Pumpadisa. Omri Bechana Petorah, Rabbi Chana, who was a Petorah. Remember where you saw that word in the Chumash, right?
Let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
By Bilam, right? Bilam. The Petorah means a Shulchani.
Money changer.
Money changer. So, we're talking Arabic here. Aramaic. Iloi minai avikoi barnafa. I want you to know, right here in this bank, Barnabcha was standing. Barnabcha was the way they referred to Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi says they called him Barnabcha either because he literally was a Barnabcha, his father was a blacksmith, or because he was so beautiful. And the Gemara keeps talking about how beautiful he was, so he glowed. They called him Barnabcha, or maybe in order to avoid an iron horror, which he wasn't worried about. It's a euphemism, maybe. But in any event, he was standing right here. And he asked me whether I have any Kurdistani dinners in the safe. The Shire Baker Bus, he wanted to use it actually for a trace that had come in front of him to see whether that size was chaser in the Kana. And I see Rabbi Yochanan standing and I boy make him and I wanted to stand up as a cover for Rabbi Yochanan. And he wouldn't let me. Velo Shafkan. Amali Shev, Shev, sit. Engba aleum niyut v'shaim la'amod b'vnei tamidei chachamim b'sha'a sh'oski asukim b'mlachtam. People who are doing business are not allowed to stand up for tamidei chachamim while they are busy. So Rashi learns that it's got to be talking about someone who's working for somebody else. I guess since you're not allowed to. So if you're not allowed to, it's got to be because you're wasting somebody else's money. I mean, he didn't take off time for your standing up for Tamir Chachamim walking time. Tosfos says it doesn't have to mean that because Eino Rishai can often be used, and he brings examples of this, to mean you don't have to, but not that you're literally not allowed to. And sorry, he brings some interesting examples. And there's a run, a very fascinating run, who says it does mean Eino Rishai. And the reason was that the Chachamim knew that this was the kind of thing that could easily get out of hand. People have a tendency to become a little worshipful, and you know, they love showing covenants on. It becomes like they spend half your day standing up for people to walk by, and they said, no, you're not allowed to do that. So, okay, it's an interesting, different shittas. Therefore, according to Tosfos, it's talking about anybody. The fact that you're busy working means that you don't interrupt stand up for Tamei Chachamim.
And they swear to honor those?
So that they help. Well, it's once in the morning, once in the evening. That sacrifice shouldn't be greater than the Kedusha of the Shechina. So they're doing it. Rishai doesn't mean you can't, like by a parent. So it's okay, so you stand up once in the morning, once in the evening.
If you're busy to go work, you obviously still stand up, right?
For that, and you do it when you're not Isaac the Malachim. Ask the Gemara, hello? Is that true, though? Vatzan ko ba'alim niyot, abdim itneem, b'sho'alim b'shlomam, yomim lehem achenu, anshim akum ploni, bo'achem b'shalom. So, I mean, that says that when the people came carrying the bikuri, everybody would stand up, make a big tumult. I mean, over there, probably 20 times a day, somebody passed by, maybe 100 times a day. And everybody had to get up and say this whole thing. I mean, apparently they're not really that mocked about people wasting time, even though the rest of the Malachim is everybody, all the Bali Yundans. Rabbi Yochanan, that's the whole point. Note that it says over here in the Mishnah, Mipnehem, it means Davka, Mipnehem Omdim. But Mipnei Tamidei Chachamim, Ein Omdim. The Takana was specifically not to stand for Tamidei Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi Baravim, Borei kama chaviva mitzvah b'sha'ata. Take a look at the value of a mitzvah at the time that it's being done. Because we have a mitzvah like the Bikurim, has a special time to be done. And people are being nice to that mitzvah at that time. So it's a rare occasion. So be paying him on din. Take a look for them, even though we're not aimed at Tamina Chachamim Einon Din, but for a mitzvah, we're Mechabed, Oisei Mitzvah, greater than Tamina Chachamim, if that's what they're being Isaac at that time. Says the Gemara, how do you know that's the reason? Mimai. Dilma Kadesh Lotte Nimsim Makshi Lam Lati Lavo. Could be a whole different thing. Maybe it's not because of the Chaviva and the Mitzvah B'Shaita. Maybe it's because it's a heck of a schlep to bring Bikurim. And unless you make a big tumult about it, you don't give people enough encouragement to show up. So, and we might have made a special takana for the Bikurim, but it doesn't mean that any mitzvah necessarily is supposed to stand up.
But it's sure.
Very interesting halacha l'maisa based on this. Because the Gemara doesn't go any further with this. The question is, I mean, does it stay with this dihui that there is no chiyuv of amida b'fnei Eisei Mitzvah? Maisa the Taz says that this is not a dihui. This was a possible dihui, but it wasn't. We stayed with the halacha. Therefore, mamish a fascinating din. The halacha is you have to stand up when a mace passes by, even if they're sufficient for the funeral. And you don't have a chiyuv to be malava him, you have to stand up as the funeral passes. And people do this. People generally assume that they're standing up to the kavod ha'meis. But the Taz Tainas, there is no chiyuv of the kavod ha'meis because he has enough to malava him. You're standing up for the people who are going to the funeral. Because they're involved in a mitzvah p'shaita. Fascinating, right? It's like a whole different way of relating to. Here's people walking by being Isaac and Mitzvah. So that's the answer.
What's the official definition of a Mitzvah of Shaita? It has to be
at a specific time. And it's not something that goes on all the time.
Every time
you have a phone,
it's a phone.
That's already there. It's a different issue. Omer of Nachman, when it says Kisela, you know what, it's after 9, it's, because the sugya really goes on through the half the next time. We'll talk tomorrow. Please remember that. That's very interesting hashlachot for shiurim bizman hazeh. No, why? Because he said before, Kisela, if you spread it out, Geneva said, if you spread it out, it's a tefa.
So
if you spread out a tzelet, it turns out that it's only one. Okay, the Tosafot says take a string, go around the circumference, then pull the string straight. It only comes out about 84 millimeters, which is a very small shear for tefa. Right. There are certain chambers that have been tested and have been shown not to cause any hashkos at the level of the
state.
So the ones that I recall are the non-lifting Norelco. Some of them have a lift. They call it a lift. You can see the difference that they have the blades, we say that the blades have a little notch besides the blade, which grabs there to pull it up for the next blade to cut. That could be that it's already has cross, according to some sheets, it cuts under the skin level. And the brown.
The bronze, I think?
Bronze was tested on that, so I don't know, I think that the kosher place in Baltimore tested it or something and found that it wasn't much. Yeah, it's bronze. It's a good thing.
Huh?
No, bronze was good. Huh? I don't know.
Is it shackles because you would have to stand up all the time, or is it any job?
No.
Job
is important.
But yet, if you're learning tomorrow, you stand up. You stop and stand up.
For what?
You're learning tomorrow.